you just got to jump. You just got to do it because, you know, so I did this for, I've been doing it for 8 years, right? But really, I only really grew and blew up in the last 2 years because I finally grew some balls. Mm-hmm. And I also just made the decision that I was going to do it.
Hey, y'all, what's up? This is Aaron LeBauer. Welcome to the Cash PT Lunch Hour podcast, the number one show for passionate physical therapists looking to start and grow an even more successful physical therapy practice without the headaches or conflict of interest that insurance companies bring. Before we get to the episode, real quick, if you're new to the show or haven't picked up your Cash PT checklist yet, then you're definitely missing out. This checklist lays out all the essential steps you need to start a cash-based physical therapy business. If you want me to send that to you, then go to cashptchecklist.com. That's cashptchecklist.com. Enter your first name and email and you'll get this essential checklist right away. Thanks, and now on to the show. Hello, welcome to the Cash PT Lunch Hour. This is Aaron LeBauer with LeBauer Consulting and Cash PT Lunch Hour. I'm your host, and today I have a special guest. Her name is Victoria Liu, and she's from California. She's a cash practice owner, Pilates instructor, kettlebell instructor, et cetera, and certified badass. So, Victoria, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you join us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your business and who you are, who do you help and what are you helping people do and where are you?
Well, we're 100% cash. And let me see if I remember our UVP, our unique value proposition. We help active people stay fit, healthy, and mobile. What do I do? And help them return to doing the things they love to do, whether it's CrossFit, picking up their grandkids and playing with them, or running. We work with a lot of runners. Yeah, that's we offer some fitness classes and we do one-on-one PT for an hour. We integrate Pilates, we integrate movement, kettlebells, training into our therapy sessions.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're in Oakland, California, or are you one of the little cities right
no.
there?
No, we're in the East Bay. We're about 30 minutes from Oakland. It's a town called San Ramon.
Okay. And is that's south of Oakland?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Because I lived in Berkeley and El Cerrito for a little bit in San Francisco for 7 years. So.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah. You're a cyclist too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I rode pretty much every street over in the East Bay from Oakland North and all in San Francisco. I was a messenger and did a lot of training in Marin.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you probably biked up Diablo. That's one of my favorite rides, yes. Mount Diablo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, it's a really amazing ride. Awesome. So when did you start, tell us a little bit, when did you start your business and how did you know you even wanted to get into owning a business and a cash practice like that?
I actually didn't want to own a business. I mean, I never really was interested in owning a business. And I remember working for a small business, a small PT practice when she first started. And she was like a chicken with her head cut off all the time and very, very stressed out. And I thought, I never want to own a business because this sucks. And so, but it kind of just fell into place because I was getting kind of burnt out a little bit, you know, seeing patient after patient. And I'm like, well, where else, you know, where's this going? I mean, I worked for a good clinic and everything. It wasn't like, you know, I thought it wasn't a mill or anything. And I thought, well, like, this is one of the best places to work. And I'm still not really satisfied. And I'm not treating the way I want to treat, really. And I wanted more flexibility and freedom of my own schedule. You know, I wanted to be able to go ride Mount Diablo at 9 o'clock in the morning without the traffic and, you know, not see patients until noon or one. And, you know, I just didn't have the flexibility and I really wanted that. I just wanted a different type of lifestyle. And I'm like, well, if the system doesn't, you know, have space for me to do that, I got to create it myself. Mm-hmm. And so I was still working full time somewhere. And then I just started seeing patients on the side, like a side PT hustle, like people are talking about. And I just never really thought that it would grow or, I always wanted that stability. And then somehow it started growing and I started getting more patients and I was like trying to take time off my full-time job. And, you know, that didn't go in line with the job. They wanted me full-time. I had a wait list there. I mean, we were really busy, you know, and it just, we had to part ways. And then I was like, shit, I got to do this like for real now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm unemployable anywhere else. Like, I already know what the good life is. I can't go work for somebody else now. I've had it too good. I'm like, I'm just going to have to make it work.
Right.
So that's what happened. So I never intended to. It just worked out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So how long ago was that?
That was 8 years ago.
8 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's like, you know, when we're like a unicorn, like I was like a unicorn because that just, you didn't really see that. I think, was that around the time you started too?
I started in 2008. So yeah, like 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah. So like we were like unicorns. It like, it just didn't really happen. Right. And we're surrounded by insurance places. And so it's like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Right. Right. Well, that's awesome. So that's amazing. Well, congratulations. That's really cool. So what was the most challenging thing you faced when getting started with your cash practice?
Just knowing what to do. I was just stumbling around blindly. Like I remember that feeling of fear and panic, like, oh my God, what if I don't have enough patients? What am I going to do? How am I going to get these people to come and see me? What's going to make it so that people want to pay cash to see me when literally around the corner, there's three places that take your insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would people come see me? That was the scariest thing. And I had to ask myself that. And yeah, just getting people in the door first.
Right.
You know,
did you have, so I know that, so when I was a massage therapist and practicing in San Francisco, I had a lot of people come see me. They were basically like, oh, I know when I tweak my back, I need to go see my massage therapist. It's a little different here in North Carolina, but do you find that your competition isn't just physical therapists and chiropractors, it's your other professions? And
yeah.
How's that affect
totally.
You?
Totally. Totally. Like Pilates instructors, you know, especially because I market and say, hey, we use Pilates in our practice. Well, then, you know, why couldn't people just go to like Club Pilates and do the classes for a lot cheaper? Mm-hmm. But it is a different experience. It's a completely different experience. And you just have to make sure that you let the person know that. I mean, they can't necessarily work with people with pain. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily know what to do with someone with a spondylolisthesis, right. You know? I mean, so that's who we market to, is people who want to exercise in a safe space with people who have the medical knowledge and the background. But yeah, absolutely. There's CrossFit coaches. There's a whole new breed of trainers. A lot of trainers, you know, honestly, they teach movement better than PTs do.
Right.
And because they do it day in, day out, they own it. They move every day and they teach movement every day. And so, yeah, those people, you know, and they spend the time with patients.
Right.
So like, you'll hear people say, you know, I know a lot of trainers and they're like, yeah, I help that person with their back pain better than the therapist did.
Right.
Truly.
That was my experience as a massage therapist. You're like, oh my God, no, I've been to PTs, chiros, physicians, and no one's ever touched me where I hurt. I'm like, how am I the first person to do this? Which is just, it's an amazing experience to be on that side of things. But you know, I know when I was practicing in California, and it's been 12, 13 years now, you guys didn't have direct access. So if someone could come see me within 24 hours, but they couldn't come see you, you know, within 24 hours. Has that changed your practice? And was that difficult? You know, when you started 8 years ago, was that a barrier at all?
You know, honestly, I don't really remember. I remember thinking, oh God, we don't have direct access. Like this is a pain. I think it was a little bit more difficult, but I don't remember it being a challenge for me in terms of patients. So, but it was a lot more freeing to have the direct access. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think a lot of people, you know, from different places like, oh, we've got restricted direct access and oh, I couldn't possibly do this. It sounds like that's not really, you know, from someone in a state with a somewhat restricted direct access, it's not that big of an issue.
No, I don't remember it really being much of an issue. I mean, you just had to be a little bit more on top of people about getting diagnoses and stuff like that. And, and truly, if people want to get reimbursed, I always recommend they get a prescription anyway, just in case. I just say that.
Yeah. And so in California, is private insurance reimbursing for a direct access style visit to PT, or do they still require like a script of some sort?
You know, I think it really depends on the person's insurance, just like anything. I mean, I have some patients with kick-ass insurance and they just pay everything. Right. And then I have some people, just like they pay nothing, regardless of whether you have a prescription, you write a note, you like, you know, give them everything. And they're like, no, we won't pay. You know, or they'll pay like very small. So it just depends on the person's plan. But yes, some of my patients don't need prescriptions at all.
Right.
And they'll get reimbursed.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. Is that something that you even, like your patients are even like worried about or getting reimbursed? Or are they just focused on the fact that I know Victoria is going to help?
You know, since we raised our rates, it's become more of an issue. when we were kind of more comparable to what the massage therapists and chiros and maybe charging just a little bit more than trainers do and stuff, it wasn't as much of an issue. People liked to use that, but you know, there's also HSA and FSA. But now it's definitely, since we've raised our rates so many times, now it's definitely more of an issue because it's definitely a lot more expensive. So people are like, well, I could do this if I get some subsidy from my insurance.
Right.
Because it is a lot of money up front.
Yeah. Are they actually getting like reimbursed by insurance or?
They do. They do. I mean, it depends on the insurance. Like I said, right? Some people, like I have some patients, 100%.
Wow.
I'm 25%.
Yeah.
Nothing. They have no, you know, like Kaiser. People from Kaiser will come and see us, right? Because they don't necessarily get, because Kaiser is a totally different system. Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, really need more handholding than what the Kaiser system allows. And so we will get a lot of patients from Kaiser because they just can't get the same kind of level or amount of care that they really feel like they need.
Right. So are you still mostly getting patients by word of mouth, or are you doing advertising marketing? What's been the best thing for you guys?
You know, the best patients we get are the ones that are word of mouth. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who already have some trust in us. They're the ones who will just pay, book online. They're like, I already know I'm going there. I'm going to just pay the, you know, whatever cost it is, you know, to get in. I just pay it online. I'm always surprised by that because it's not cheap to, you know, but those are the best ones because they've already been talked to and convinced by their friend or their parent or their spouse. You need to go see these people. They're better than everybody else. I've already been to 10 physical therapists. You need to go here. Huh. Like when someone's told that, they're like, fine, I'll go. And you know, so those are the best ones. They buy in almost immediately, right? But no, we don't. I mean, the marketing, I mean, I do a lot of posting on Facebook now, but I don't actually do any ads. I haven't done any like marketing. Mm-hmm. Like I don't send out postcards. I don't like, I've not visited one doctor. So I think some of it's just from our website being highly ranked on Google, highly ranked on Yelp, and then some of the relationships we have. Like I've treated some physicians in the area and they refer, but not as much as you would think because the insurance thing.
Yeah, right. Anyway. So, and it's not just you anymore. You've got a couple other people working for you, right?
Yeah, I have a few. I have a few Pilates instructors, and I have an administrative assistant who's fantastic. And we're bringing on another guy, my first boy that I'm hiring, the first male. And he wants to go to PT school. He's starting on Monday. He's super vibrant and young and really eager and hungry. And I love that. He's got great energy. He's starting on Monday. And then I have a full-time PT.
Awesome.
And she's been great. We're having fun.
Yeah. So you're seeing, and you're doing this, like you're filling up almost two physical therapist schedule with just some word of mouth and social media.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, we've been pretty consistently busy. I mean, the reason why we raised our rates so many times is because I kept having a wait list and I had hired independent contractors. I've had independent contractor PTs coming in and out for the past 2 years. And I was like, you know what? I just need to get one person I can invest time in and, you know, time and effort in and mold them. And they're dedicated to the brand and the practice rather than people floating in and out. I mean, it helped me make money. It did. There was a purpose for everything, right? You just have to see if the independent contract, if it, you know, fulfills a solution for you. If it fills a need for you, then it's worth it. But
The independent contractor a little safer, but they didn't really buy in and stay long term? Was that happening?
Yeah, it was safer for me, you know, because fear. When you're afraid of hiring somebody and not filling their schedule and you're responsible for their livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a family. You want them to do well. And you're like, oh my God, that's a lot of responsibility. But independent contractors, you know, they don't need insurance. Maybe their spouse has insurance. They just come in when you have patients. But then it got really frustrating because they would only give you set hours, right? Because they make their own hours. And then if we needed patients to get scheduled different hours, it was really frustrating to not be able to get patients in. And you can't direct them as independent contractors. You're not technically, right, directing them. They're of their own entity.
Right. They get to control a lot of stuff. You know?
Right. You don't control anything. And if you really want to build something with your brand and you want things done a certain way, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I learned the hard way.
Right. Yeah. You know, I talked to so many people. I remember when you were hiring someone and I talked to so many people and they're just like, yeah, you know, these are the pros and cons of independent contractors and employees. And, I decided early on, I want someone to do, I want Aaron LaBauer's brand of physical therapy being produced out of our building, you know, rather than 500 people's brand.
Yeah. So smart that you did it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, you live and learn. I mean, I've made plenty of mistakes myself, so.
And I, yeah.
You know what? Let me go back to, you were saying that you had raised your rates quite a few times. Yeah. Yeah. Was it easy? And, you know, what, and like, was there like one level, like some people, for me, it was like, oh, $10 at a time. And then recently it was $100. I was just like, just going up $100. And it wasn't any harder than $10. So did you have that experience? And what are you guys charging now? And I know it's not I'm asking these questions, not because this is what other people should charge, but because I want to give people an idea about what's possible and, you know, what you can be doing, you know, so.
Yeah. In the beginning, I raised it incrementally, like $15, $20 or something like that. And it was really no big deal. It was not a big deal. But so, like I said, any decision you make, you've got to think like, what solution does this give you? I mean, what need does it fill? Like, so the reason I raised, the last time I raised it just like $100, I was like, screw it. I'm just, because somebody said to me, well, one of my patients had said this to me. You need to be like the Paul Mitchell of PT. Nobody gets to see Paul Mitchell. Like, Paul Mitchell has his people that he trains and you can see the people that he trains and they're pretty damn good, right? But if you want to see Paul Mitchell, you're going to have to pay like a lot more money because Paul Mitchell just doesn't have enough supply for the demand. Right. So this was the solution I was trying to have because for a long time I've had like a month or 2 month long wait list and I was working 5 days a week and I went down to four and then the wait list went longer. And then I wanted to go down to three because I wanted to onboard this therapist and I wanted to work on my business instead of working in my business. Mm-hmm. And so in order to go down to three, I had to just jack up the price. I was like, you know what? Let's just go crazy. Yeah. I don't know who's going to pay this. I'm just experimenting. I could be shooting myself in the foot. I have no fucking clue. I'm just going to do it. And so I raised it to $350.
Wow.
So my eval rate is $350. And then a few people. So then I decided, you know what? I don't want to work at 6:30. I don't want to see patients at 6:30. So you know what? If you want to see me at 6:30, you're going to pay a $50 premium charge. People paid it. So I had a few people pay $400 to come see me. And that sounds like I don't mean to be bragging about that. I was shocked. I was shocked out of my mind because I was like, who's going to pay that?
Yeah, you sent me a message. You were like, holy cow, Aaron, I think they booked online too, right?
They booked online. One of them booked online. But he'd been following me for a while on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. If you think you have a need, his need was to get to his half marathon, right? Because he's a screwed up runner. And you think I can deliver that need, you will pay whatever.
Right.
If it's worth it to you. If you want it bad enough and you think I can give it to you, you're going to pay that. But, you know, I don't know if that's sustainable. I don't know. I think it's been a month and a half or so and people are paying it, but a lot less. I will say I am a lot less in demand now because of that rate. But that was the whole point, right? Mm-hmm. That it made me really uncomfortable. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? But I just had to try it and it did the job. Like I am able to go down to 3 days a week now.
Yeah.
Now I may reverse it back. I don't know. Like I said, I experiment. I'm just trying it out. I'm not saying anybody else should do this.
Yeah. Well, you bought back your time. And that's the thing is that you bought back your time and other people are seeing your other therapist, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. And are you guys charging the $350 for your other therapist or how's that work?
No. So my other therapist, we were charging $250.
Okay.
And then there's packages and then follow-up rate is a little less than that. But, you know, we're experimenting. Like, I don't know. I mean, we might just do away with, you know, having different rates and maybe we'll just make her one flat rate or something. So we're still playing around with it. And I think we're going to do some holiday promotions and stuff like that. And we just want to see what's supply and demand. And she's been really busy so far, but if it starts to fall off, I may lower my reach. I might run a promotion or something.
Right.
Yeah. I'm learning. I'm trying things out.
Yeah. So am I, you know, it's like, and everyone is, it's like, so these things are all different in every region and every location. If you have a really strong brand, if you're Paul Mitchell of PT or Paula Mitchell of PT, I mean, if you're a celebrity in your town, then everyone wants to see you or the people that you endorse. And I think that as long as we are giving people the result that they are really coming in for and not wasting their time, then it's absolutely worth whatever we charge them. Because, you know, I'd pay thousands of dollars to have, you know, my life back, you know?
Right.
So, that's amazing. What's the, in all of this, what's been the thing that's been the biggest challenge for you in growing your business or, you know, building it, onboarding other people, raising your rates, whatever it is, like what's been the thing that's been the biggest challenge for you?
Finding good people, staffing, finding the right people. And I think I have a great group of people right now, but it's just hard finding good Pilates instructors who are willing to, devote the time. Cause a lot of times instructors, you know, work at like 5 different places and then PTs, because this, what we do is so different. I mean, it is and it isn't. There's pieces that are the same across, right? PT, but we do something a little bit different. And so then training people to do it that way and having the right mindset. Because if you hire people, mostly if you hire people who've been working as a staff PT, they just don't know how to sell physical therapy. They don't know how to sell what we do. Whereas trainers and stuff, they do that all the time. So they you have to teach them how to think differently. They're just thinking like, okay, in the box, like, okay, they're out of pain. You're technically discharged from PT, but we actually have this whole transition to wellness thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by it's, we're a little bit different. So you have to be able to train your people to do that.
What's your biggest tip for hiring the right person? Like what's the thing that's worked well for you in hiring the right employees?
I'm still playing around with it. You know what? It's the PT that I have right now is great. And you know how we were in the same triathlete community. So you have to have like similar interests or be able to speak to the same type of community of patients that you want to treat. And then she actually came to one of my Restore Your Core classes. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like word of mouth too. It's a little bit of word of mouth, like, it's better to have people who are introduced to you or you've met personally, maybe at a course or something, or people who follow you and they see what you're doing on Facebook. They kind of get an idea of what kind of person you are and then they want to come work for you. That actually has worked out better for me, even with independent contractors. That's how I've actually gotten. It's not really through Indeed very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through like your own personal network of people.
Yeah, yeah. And just putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Because now... Yeah, you just have to be willing to put yourself out there.
Is there something about the hiring process that you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that? Other than I think hiring an independent contractor the first time around, it sounded like that maybe that was it. But is there anything else?
You know, just having your checklist and systems in place first. Because a lot of times I was like scrambling. Oh my God, I have too many patients. I need to hire someone now. Like if you're breathing, come see my patients. And that was a big mistake. Like seriously, because they didn't really treat them the way you wanted them to be treated. And then you would get feedback. Like I didn't think that was as good as you and whatever. So instead of just like throwing people to the fire and like just hiring the first person you get because you're desperate, is really slowing things down and getting to know the person and also having like your checklist of like, you've done this training with them. You've done this training with them. They signed off on it. Like I was just learning as I went.
Yeah. Cool.
I wouldn't do that way again.
Yeah. Those are great tips. So how does your, your Pilates certification, your kettlebell certified, is it Strong First or the RKC? Like
it's RKC. Uh-huh. And I'm actually going to New York in a couple weeks to assistant teach on RKC. Awesome. And I'm super excited about that. I'm a little nervous, but you know, I think it'll be really fun. Cause I think when you teach, you really learn a lot more and you got to really be good at it. So I'm always trying to improve. Like I always want to get better. So I'm RKC. because they were local. I could have done Strong First, and I may actually end up doing Strong First in February.
So how do you incorporate that, like your Pilates, the kettlebells, and some of the other things that you're doing into your business or marketing or, you know, like your culture? How do those things infiltrate everything? And you're even like, I guess, how are you using that towards your wellness programs or transition?
Yeah. So a lot of times I'll introduce Pilates or some kettlebell work within our PT sessions. And, you know, and people have this misconception of kettlebells is it's just a tool. Like it's just an inanimate object. It's just a tool. But really, when you go to like the RKC and Strong First stuff, it's a whole system of training movement. And it was really eye-opening how good some of those instructors are. So Anyway, when I say kettlebells, I don't mean just the tool itself, but it's like the whole system of movement. So I'll introduce patients to it during our sessions. And then I develop some classes, some small group training, right? So It's not classes like 10 people, but it's maybe like 6 people. And they pay a little bit more, but it's like group personal training. It's like personal training at a reduced cost, right?
Or like a 6-person Pilates session or whatever they, you know, some people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a lot of those people will transition to that. So that's one way of kind of keeping you on their mind. Mm-hmm. And also we're helping them with getting out of pain, but then with fitness and wellness. And often those things will improve their goal, you know, it help them achieve their goals of getting back to running.
Cool.
You know?
So how many times a week are you offering that? And like, what do you guys charge for these small group classes in comparison? You know, just to get an idea about what it is. Like, and what's the comparison between like a drop-in yoga class or Pilates class nearby to you?
Oh, I think a drop-in yoga class is a lot cheaper, I think. A lot of yoga places will do like $15 or $20, mm-hmm. something like that. So I don't actually allow drop-ins into my class. You have to commit to 4 weeks or 6 weeks because one, you're not going to really, consistency is king or consistency is queen, right? You're not really going to see results if you just kind of drop in, because I build on each class. So the classes are skill-based too. So like the class 3 builds on class 1. If you didn't show up for class 1 or 2, you're going to, you know, you're not going to be, you know, getting as much out of class 3. Mm-hmm. So it's meant to be like that. I charge, I think, $40 per session. So You can do the math. If I let 5 or 6 people in, you know, right. Like $250.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. So, and is this like you're starting all 6 people at once for 6 weeks, or is it a rolling, you know, people can get in at any time? How does that work?
So I started this kettlebell core and flow class, and these guys have been with me for the last, I don't know, 6 months. So I actually closed off their class. You need instructor prior approval to get into that class. Like you have to have had some kettlebell experience, or you've worked with me one-on-one in order to take that class. So that one's kind of a closed class. So I started a new one called Kettability. It's kettlebells and mobility because I see a need for it. And so when I see my patients and I see what they need, I'm like, okay, let's make a class for you. Because there's a few of you like that. So then I just, and so that's a one-on-one. So that's, you know, kettlebells 101. Mm-hmm. And so that's new. And so, yeah, we got to have different levels.
Right. And then is after that, are you sending people somewhere else, or is it to keep them into like a continual class? You know, what's the plan for them, you know, beyond these, like these kind of mobility introductory, you know, classes?
So like that kettlebell core and flow one, those guys have stayed with me for 6 months. Right. Yeah. So we just keep rolling. And so for this kettlability class, we may just keep rolling it over. I'm not sure. It's an experiment.
Awesome.
Try stuff. Right. And I do have these 1-day workshops too, where like people pay like $75 or something, and you know, they get like an hour and a half, and I have like 6 people, and it's just 1 day. They just want to learn how to do kettlebells on their own. And some of those that's just a 1-day thing. They can do kettlebells on their own, or they can join in one of my classes.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. I wish there was a really good kettlebell instructor near me. I mean, we've had one, and she's moved away with her partner for his job. And, you know, like we do kettlebells, but like, you know, it'd be nice to go do it with someone who's actually gone through the whole training. Like it's going to take a lot to get 53 pounds overhead 100 times for me with my 6'3" body.
I know. Snatches are going to be, that's the only benefit to being short and little. I'm only 5'2".
So my plan is that when I'm 50, I don't have to do 53 pounds. I think it's like 44, and I should be able to do that in 5 years. So, you know,
Yeah. But you can do it.
I know. I'm working on it every day. It was up this morning at 5 a.m. So
working on your snatches.
Working on my snatches. We did snatches and we did handstand push-ups and pikes and some jumping rope and some other good stuff like that. So
yeah, have you ever come out to Cali? We could go do like a workout together.
Yeah, we'll have to do that in the bike ride too. I got to get a bike.
Oh yes, yes, absolutely.
Diablo, you know.
Yeah, I have to find someone with a bike long big enough for you.
Right. I still have some friends out there. I might be able to find a good one. So that'd be fun. So what's next, Victoria? Like, where are you taking your business? Where are you headed? What are your plans for the next 3 to 5 years?
You know, I'm just at this point, this tipping point right now where I'm trying to decide like what I do next. I mean, part of me would love to actually like have a gym. Mm-hmm. And cause you know what? I love teaching movement and it's a lower point of entry and I can help way more people. I mean, that's why, you know, people with CrossFit, like who open up in a CrossFit gym or something. I mean, you have a constant array of people to work with, right? And coaches to train with and stuff like that. I mean, I've been talking to a kettlebell trainer that I know who's an Iron Maiden, which means she had to do a pistol squat, she had to do a pull-up, and she had to do a strict press with 53 pounds.
Wow.
As a woman. Right. Wow. That's how you become an Iron Maiden. Nice. I don't know if I have those aspirations, but she is strong, man. So anyway, she and I have been talking and she wants to open up more kettlebell studios and gyms. And maybe she wants to do one in East Bay and maybe we partner up. I don't know. We're just talking again. Okay. So I'm thinking. And because I love the fitness side of it. I love having both things. Or the other thing I'm thinking about is becoming maybe a hybrid practice. So I've been 100% cash. But somebody opened my eyes recently and he's been able to actually be in network with some insurances or take some insurances and mm-hmm. still deliver high quality care. He still sees patients 1 hour. Now I got to look more at that model, see if it's doable here in California. My feeling is probably not. I think you have to stay out of network to actually mm-hmm. make that work here because everything's just more expensive here. Reimbursement just sucks everywhere.
rent is high there too, so you know.
Rent is really high here. So I'm thinking about that because, you know, I would love to treat and help a bunch of people, but now that my rate is so high, I end up closing out a lot of people, and mm-hmm. that was a little bit of an ethical dilemma for me too, and that's why I'm still thinking about it. Like maybe I'll lower my rates back down, and maybe I'll do a little bit of a hybrid. Practice. I'm not sure.
From my perspective, and you've mentioned this already, I feel, and you said, you know, trainers have better, you know, like they coach movement a whole lot more. I feel like they're closer to patients before they get injured anyways, or right when they're getting injured. I kind of feel like mm-hmm. to me, that's the next frontier for, you know, physical therapy and or reaching people before they get, you know, have to go get an MRI and some surgery before they come see us. What are your thoughts about that?
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, for example, if you're in the CrossFit gym, this guy has pain squatting. Like mm-hmm. you could immediately do something and say, here, I'm going to do this hip mobilization on you. Retest your squat. I mean, that is really powerful. It changes it right away. And they're like, oh my God, I need to see you. I mean, or this is, you know, now I've saved myself from having, you know, hip surgery because I have FAI now or something. I mean, people all the time who their ankle mobility is restricting their squat or something, and then you fix that up and it completely changes their movement. So it's not just pain, but it's also performance too. I mean, that's mm-hmm. why Kelly Starrett has been so amazing. Like he's done so well, right? Because he
it's great. I mean, his reach is insane and he's doing an amazing stuff. I think as a physical therapist, that's the next like realm of him and John Russin, who my mastermind a couple weeks ago. John gets an article out. He's a PT and a strength coach. He gets an article out to 5 million people.
I know. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, they're changing the face of like fitness and PT, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, not all PTs have that skill set though.
Right. True.
But that takes some time to develop.
So you got your, how'd you get into like studying like kettlebells and Pilates? Was that before PT or after? Or was that something you said, oh, I need
it? It was after. Just because I'm, So I've been a PT for over 18 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I was classically a manual therapist. So I came out to California. I'm originally from New York City. I came out to California to do a Kaiser Fellowship,
okay,
which was so hard. It was so hard. You're sitting in a room with a mentor and they are watching you with your patient. And then after you leave the room, they tell you everything you fucking did wrong. Basically, I feel like this. You were like, I am the worst therapist in the world, but it is such a life-changing and great experience. Like, and so I spent a lot of time on manual therapy. I spent a lot of time on that. And I would get my patients better, but then I was like, there's something missing. Like, they don't own it. They're having to come back. Yeah, I make them feel better. They walk out feeling like $1 million, but they have to keep coming back. And I'm like, there's something missing. It's like the way they move. They move like shit. I have to fix that. Right. And I worked in a practice where they had Pilates. And they taught me a few things. I was fascinated by it. And you know what? It's like it goes hand in hand with physical therapy. The principles of Pilates, precision of movement, centering, breathing, the connection of your mind to your body, kind of like you with yoga, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it like seamlessly goes with physical therapy. So I decided to study it and then I got certified. And then, you know, I get bored. So then I'm like, okay, but Pilates is great, but you know, what about real resistance? Because there's a limit to how much resistance you can use with Pilates. Great for rehab, but you can't just stay there. You have to keep going. So then I was like, okay, well, what external resistance? And a friend of mine, he's a chiropractor, and he was doing all kinds of stuff with kettlebells, and I got really interested in it. And then I started looking into it, and I started training for it, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
it's so compact. It doesn't take up room, and it's just, you can get a full body workout in such a short amount of time. And then I took the course. I just fell in love with it. So
yeah, that's so great. Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing great, you know, and
we're trying,
you know, even though you're experimenting with everything at the same time, your experiments are good. Is there one experiment that you did that you're like, no, that was a bad idea?
Well, I'm wondering if this most recent raising of the rates is a bad idea. I'm borderline. I'm questioning it, right? Because you know, it's making me a little uncomfortable. But not really. Everything else has worked out. Like maybe I'm worried about it in the beginning, and then it's all worked itself out. And I go through my roller coaster thing. Like sometimes I'm really high. I'm like, this is awesome, and then sometimes you're like, God, this is not good. And you just have to ride those things out. Thank God I have a supportive husband. Huh?
Yeah. I said, no, that's great. That's great. I wouldn't worry too much about your rates. I think, you know, from my end, you know, people in New York have been regularly charging over 300 a visit
for
years.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that, we do undervalue ourselves, and the dentists charge a lot, lawyers charge a lot. And you live in, you know, in an expensive place. I mean, if it was, you know, there are ways that you can serve people, and you're buying your time. So, you know, from my perspective, I wouldn't worry about it. And, you know, I think it's just, you're the uncomfortable zone, you know, where you're growing. And it sounds like you've got a lot, you know, going on right now too, right?
But nothing good ever happens in the comfort zone, right?
No, so never. If we stay comfortable, we just stay on the couch and, you know, it's like, we don't get anywhere. So I think that's the big thing, is that you don't grow if you're comfortable, and you have to get uncomfortable to grow and change and help people. And I get uncomfortable. Like yesterday I had a patient that was like, you know, wow, like helping this person is uncomfortable because I got to get real with her, you know? And I think that's just, you know, you got to get real with people. All right. Anything before we go, and I know you've got somewhere to be, is there anything else that you want to add? Any tip for someone who is just starting or is, you know, not in a comfort zone right now, you want to add?
You just got to jump. You just got to do it, because, you know, so I did this I've been doing it for 8 years, right? But really, I only really grew and blew up in the last 2 years because I finally grew some balls. Mm-hmm. And I also just made the decision that I was going to do it because I saw how much I needed to retire. And I and I got a daughter who has, you know, I got to pay for school. And I was like, you know what? I need to like make this work now. I need to actually sit down and do it. And then that's when I changed my mindset and decided I'm going to go all in. And I invest in yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing, go and get a coach. Like, you've got your blueprint, like, amazing, right? Like, go seek someone out who has already done it and learn from their mistakes rather than just making the same mistakes they've made and just taking 10 times longer. Because, like, I could have been at this point a long time ago, but it took me 8 years just because I was, you know, I had my kid and whatever. But if you got a roadmap and you invest in yourself and you get coaches who are smarter than you or have done this before you, seek out their help. that's what amazing. I would do.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. All right. Yeah, that's great. So, Victoria, with that, our time is up. So I thank you very much for being here today and taking time out of your busy day and your
my pleasure
schedule and your training schedule and everything. Where can we find you? If someone wants to find out a bit more about you online, where do we find you on your website or Instagram, you know, Facebook, et cetera?
Instagram is just Iron Horse PT, Facebook, Iron Horse PT and Pilates. And our website is www.ironhorsept.com.
Wow. That's a good one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, this is Aaron LeBauer and Victoria Liu for the Cash PT Lunch Hour. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, thanks again for spending your time with me today. If you're a new listener, then thank you for checking out the show. And don't forget, you can find all the resources and links mentioned, as well as show notes, over at aaronlebauer.com. If you found this podcast and information valuable to you, I would greatly appreciate a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and a shout out on social media wherever you hang out.
And if you own a business that's doing 6 figures or more in annual revenue, or you're very close and you know it has massive potential, and you would like me to help you accelerate your income and scale your practice in the shortest time possible, then you might be a great candidate for my upcoming Cash PT Bootcamp. To learn more about this one-day bootcamp, just go to aaronlebauerlive.com. That's AaronLebauerLive.com.
Have a great day.